A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. I am Kelsey Murphy here with my good friend Pete Ferrero, and we are here to discuss the newest episode of MasterChef, the very first team challenge out in the field where all the contestants serve up a bunch of firefighters in the heat and the wind. This was a good one.
This is really good. And it starts off with all this sort of like Hollywood explosives and fire all over the place. You said that you didn't do a team challenge.
We did not. We filmed during COVID, so we missed out on all that fun stuff.
But did you get to see them do anything cool outside?
Never. Nope.
So you don't have the experience necessarily of being in the team challenge, but you did do some duels.
Yes, we still did some duels and a team challenge inside the MasterChef kitchen. Just never a field challenge. We were serving 100 guests like right. they had to do, but still experienced the Gordon Ramsay team challenge, you know, personality that comes out.
Well, that's where I was going with this. So what is that experience? Because it's kind of like you go to the audition. It's not explosive, Gordon. There's maybe some rude comments here or there that you see or hear, but then you get into this environment of a team challenge and it's a different person. Tell me about that experience.
It's legitimately like the Jekyll and Hyde of Gordon Ramsay. It is crazy. As soon as that challenge starts, when there are 75 minutes started on this challenge, I can picture it. He's literally just like, all right guys, I'm giving you all the tips and tricks I can and being like nice and but also serious. And then they literally start the challenge and all of a sudden he is going ape shit on you, just screaming at everything, every step you do. He just starts screaming. Like, and you begin to question your own name. You literally are just like, I swear that's my name, but someone's yelling at me about it. I don't know anymore. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not. Like, that's immediately when in my season, when I cut my finger off. Because I was literally like, I don't know why you're yelling at me. Like,
right. I mean, and listen, it's in fairness, the MasterChef is not built on 20 line cooks that, you know, have had this experience of working with a loud chef. This is a totally new experience, but it is probably a required one, you know, to see who's got what it takes for this kind of world.
Oh, definitely. It's so entertaining and it's actually hilarious. Yeah. I am one of those people that like lots of times if I'm getting yelled at, I just start laughing because I feel really uncomfortable. And so when Gordon all of a sudden turns this other personality on, you're just literally like, what are you doing? Like, why? It's almost funny. But a great experience to see what people, how they're going to react.
Totally.
Situations.
And also, by the way, in this particular challenge, Aron and Joe were no better. Like they're not maybe screaming, but like they're saying and doing things that are.
Yeah, they turn into total,
tough chefs. Is that what you were going to say? They turn into tough chefs?
Exactly. Very nicely. That was a very nice way. They're very tough chefs.
Now, in the opening, with all that explosion, I heard, did you hear when Nina said, she got all giddy about the firefighters.
Oh, really?
She's like, this is her dream come true to see firefighters.
Oh, I mean, you know.
That was an odd.
That's comment. A lot of female fantasies.
Is it? Is that one of yours?
I mean, I don't know if I've ever like, you know, really thought that would be a possibility, but you know.
Okay.
Firefighters are known for, you know.
I understand. There's
nothing better than a man in uniform. Come on.
I understand what you're saying. Yes,
playing
I got
with
it.
Fire.
Now, we get into this whole thing with Jennifer. leading the team. I thought this was a bad move right off the bat. I was like, this is, why is she doing this? You know, she had an advantage, but she still could have, this is one of those places where maybe she could have hid in the background, but she decided to be the leader of the team, that the red team.
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, I think it was a smart move. I'd say, like, this is a, why not a risk that there is no risk, you know, like, why not take the risk of being the team captain when you can't get sent home? You can only win.
Right.
You know, true. Like, so you can feel like you can take those risks as the leader because you're more willing to do it. Cause you know, there's no repercussion.
Right.
So like, it's like, you can be bold and, you know, just throw yourself into it. And you know, you can't go home.
The only thing, and I agree with you now that you put it that way, but I will say it just puts you in the front, on the front line of, if it all gets fucked up, it's on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but not on her.
And also, it didn't turn out to be that way for the blue team either.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, that's why I was like, oh, she's in the best position. Like, that's like my dream, to be like, oh, let's take charge and I can't even go home. Like, that's, totally. That's awesome. Plus, I think she has the heart of someone to be like, I'm going to take that role, because usually the captain would be the one going home. So now she has that kind of heart where she's like, I don't want to put that burden on somebody else.
Yes.
Like, if we do mess up.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting way of
looking
at it.
I don't want to, like, send somebody home because they were the captain.
Right.
So I feel like she has that, like, really good heart that she's like, no, I'm going to take this on because I can't go home. And then the burden is shared equally throughout the team.
Okay. That's a fair point. What were some of the things that you observed off the bat in this episode?
I thought it was really interesting to see, like, kind of the two girls step up as team captains and, like, you know, immediately they go back to their groups and they start talking about what they're going to do. And Jennifer immediately, like, I loved it. It was like her talking to her kids at home. She's six kids. And she's like, here are the rules. There's no talking back. There's no talking over each other. We're all going to share our ideas. So, I was like, all right, mom. Like, yeah, like, let's all play nice. And then Bryn's team, I mean, one, they're already starting with a disadvantage.
Yes.
So they've only got eight.
Right.
And that's a little tough. And then they decide on, as soon as I heard they were doing the pork chop, I was like, oh no.
I did think the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the preview to this episode last week, they only showed Gordon throwing the New York strip. So I thought there was going to be massive problems on the red team this week. I didn't realize that. I mean, that was a really well done trailer, because I wasn't aware
they threw
that
you for a loop.
They literally did. And I've said here, I thought, I've been rooting for Bryn. I thought Bryn would be great. Mm-hmm. And even inside of the blue team not doing well, and we'll get into the specifics of that, I do feel that Bryn did okay as the leader. Do you have a thought on that?
I agree. I think she did a good job. I think she stayed very calm.
Yes.
I think she was very, like, good at talking to the judges.
Yes.
Minus a couple things, and we'll get into it, because I thought some things were very funny, the way she approached them. And I actually liked that they were trying to do something a little bit different than just the red team was like, New York strip, mashed potatoes, glazed carrots. I'm like, so, I mean, I get it. It's safe.
Yeah.
And as a gameplay, that's kind of what you're going for in this. You're not trying to make the world's best dish. You're literally just trying to, like, show that you can cook 101 dishes.
Right.
And execute it. It's really not about, like, being creative. So they did all the right things to succeed.
This is a real challenge though, Kelsey, because, I mean, for the most part, home cooks may throw a holiday party and have 15 to 20 people there. You know what I mean? But you're talking about 100 firefighters, you know, with in the wind, but also in the heat of Southern California, in this competition with the three judges. It is, you know, that the weaker links are going to really shine and expose themselves, right? And the stars will sort of also show up.
Yes, it is such a difficult thing to get thrown into. Like, and they're still new in the competition. There's still, 18 of them.
Yes.
That are there. And yeah, you get thrown into this challenge. The winds were howling on the app. You could see it. And then yes. You have to man this. Maybe Ryan has. I don't know, but people don't work with these massive Argentinian grills like that.
I can't even get my electric grill working.
Literally, I was like, oh my God, I got my grill started yesterday. Yeah. My gas grill. And I was like, woohoo.
Yeah.
But to man that, I mean, the whole thing is just a lot of undertaking. And then they're like, oh, in 30 minutes, we want a dish that's ready so we can taste it. And that's a lot to handle.
It is.
And so props that they made it through it. Every time there's one of these challenges, I'm like, oh, this is just crazy. Cause there's, again, so many personalities and so many people that really aren't going to make it through this.
Exactly.
So you're dealing with for the people that are good are dealing with a lot of dead weight,
Yes.
So you're putting your trust into people that you shouldn't put your trust in. And there's just.
This was a funny episode too, and some of the judges' comments and thoughts. There was some real fun little interplay and moments, and we'll get into some of those.
Yeah.
But one of the things that happens off the bat, they get about 30 minutes to give a sample plate to the judges, and Gordon says that the mashed potatoes are shocking. So I found that comment funny, right? Because the mashed potatoes originally were lumpy and there was all kinds of problems with the mashed potatoes. Yes. Did you find them to be shocking as well?
I mean, they just didn't look that great.
Right.
I get it. And I do actually, when they go back and they, Grant's like, dude, I can't even boil water. And that's totally true. I would be in that kitchen and this was not even in howling wind. But in the MasterChef kitchen, there's this one vent that is over one of the stations and it blows air onto the station and you can't boil water because the air is blowing too much. And I'm like, oh God, this poor guy, he literally can't get the water boiling. It's a disaster. But I'm also mashed potatoes, guys.
I mean, they're overcomplicating something very simple. You did this dish because it was so simple. And you can't execute the mashed potatoes.
You can't make mashed potatoes. Also, why are you making mashed potatoes? I don't know. It's hot. Why are you making mashed potatoes? I don't know.
Did you enjoy this this moment where they're also Joe does this sort of Robert De Niro with Jennifer about leaving the mashed potatoes on the plate anyway? He's
oh, yes, yes.
He's
yeah, what did he say?
He said that they taste raw. Did you know you knew these weren't perfect? And she was like, "Well, yeah." She's like,
oh,
"You know, I knew they weren't perfect or whatever." And he says, "And you decided to serve them to us anyway, right?" It's not just Gordon.
It's all of them. Yes. And then what's his face? Did the whole smear, of the potato?
Yes.
I'm like, you don't smear potatoes. This is not an herb sauce. You put a pile of it's mashed potatoes. You don't smear potatoes.
It's interesting though about the team challenge, and I've seen this in another show that they do that he does, the Food Stars, where the team gets an opportunity to showcase the dish to the judges before they even present it. And I think that's something that they've always done. I'm noticing it more. But so right there, my mashed potatoes are shit. There's a lot of problems here on the plate, but the steak was actually pretty good and the whatnot. So they're in the wheelhouse. It's just getting these mashed potatoes right.
Yeah, Grant just needed to cook some potatoes.
Yeah.
Grant, come on.
It was funny to watch Kyle, because Kyle at most of the points in this was watching it as if he was watching the television show.
Oh, right.
As if he was watching MasterChef. Yes. He kind of got into it where he was watching Gordon yell.
Oh, yeah. He was hey, this is fun. I'm going to watch what's happening up there. What I thought was even better was the whole exchange on the blue team. When Brynn brought her dish up to present, that whole exchange, I just thought was absolutely hilarious.
Right.
Because she got pretty sassy.
She did. Mm-hmm.
She got real sassy with them. Like, so there was this discussion about the avocado crema that they decided.
Yes.
And they, you know, they had told her, well, you shouldn't put it on the bottom because then like it's getting like soggy or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, I didn't want to put it on top because, but, and then Gordon was like, well, you just listen to me. Just stop for a second and listen. And then they told her
you did that. That was amazing.
Yeah. But then like, they were like, so you should put it like on the side to get a squeeze bottle. And she was like, that feels really sloppy to me. But if that makes you happy, then I'll do it for you. And yes. I was like, oh my God. Like, that's like, if I was like a waitress and like a customer was like, oh, like, I would like this. And like, they don't just say, oh, I'm happy to do that for you. They started off with like, I think that's dumb, but I'm happy to do that for you. Like, and I was
it was
oh,
a mess.
Rin.
And then the pork chops, and we'll talk about this with Ryan, I'm sure, when we interview him, but the pork chop choice wasn't great.
Oh, those things were so big, so thick, a double pork chop. Like, I mean,
yeah,
tasty if you can cook it accurately. Yeah. They're great. But on in those conditions and like trying to do that 101 times, what a nightmare. Like, I don't know if they just like weren't allowed to also pick steak because the other team had picked it. And so they were stuck with pork. I don't know what the rules were of the challenge.
Right.
Or if they thought that that was a really good idea and they're like, yeah, that's going to be great, but not like the best team decision.
Other things that are happening is Ryan is on the grill and he's with working that station, and there's he has probes in virtually every.
How many thermometers are on that set?
Because he used all of them.
All of
them.
He
used the red team's probes too. Yeah. There was just so there. I mean, like
they're
literally
throwing them over the wall. Just
every piece of meat had probes on it. And there's just so many of them that the three judges comment on that.
Well, yeah, they comment on it just being like, just temp one and then touch it. Like, well, use your
says.
Skills. Like, yeah. Use your skills. Like, know what it should feel like, which is a very, once you learn it, it's, I mean, I know, like, when I even started learning that, I'm like, what? No. Once you learn it, it's very easy. And also the whole like temp thing. So that, you know, it was overcooked the first time they brought it up there, and the judges say like, cook it, you know, cook it to 140. If you're going to use the temperature thing, like use the probe, cook it to 140, take it off, let it rest. And then like 2 minutes later, Bryn tells him to take it off at 130.
What was that? Why did she do that? Like, I mean,
like don't overcompensate.
Yeah. Just do what was told.
No, do what he told you. You can't change the cooking temperature of pork.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to make it better. I was like, what? No.
There was a lot of temperature issues.
It's not going to carry over cook 20 degrees when it's 40 mile per hour winds. You're not like inside in an 80 degree room. Like,
We're still early enough in the competition where Gordon screams at Sarah. He says, Earth to Sarah. And I was like, who's Sarah?
Oh, I know. Yeah. The first quite a few times on even like Ryan, I was like, who's Ryan?
Right. Yeah.
I saw him and I was like, who's Ryan? And then like even Charles, I was like, oh yeah, did we see him last week?
Charles,
like,
oh, we
yeah,
saw.
We did.
Yeah.
But I still was like,
yeah.
Yeah. But no. I still was like, I don't
know them in this context.
Right. I'm still confused about people. Yes.
Definitely Ryan. But he definitely became the centerpiece of this episode, the main character.
We very quickly got to know Ryan.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. As a grill guy, he volunteered to be a grill guy.
Yes.
He was like, I cook outside. I know what I'm doing. We later found out he usually cooks in the woods when there's zero wind and probably just on like a little teepee, you know, I don't know. I'm making that up.
You but did probably make that
not,
whole part
I didn't.
Up,
I totally made that up. But we did. Yeah. He did say he cooked in the woods. Probably not on a big Argentinian grill. So
definitely not. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, probably has a gas grill, and he's cooking things, and he's figuring out the temperature of that. I mean, this is a totally different style grill.
Yeah,
like, that
it's
is
really
a,
cool looking. But
that
like,
is
it looks
a
like a thing you'd like roast
set.
A Pagan.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, like not a home cook grill.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So I did, I felt for him because yes. These elements were very challenging. And even I think the most comfortable of chefs would feel really challenged with trying to get these pork chops cooked consistently and on time and, you know, like rested properly and not getting too cold while they were, when they were cooked. I there's just so many different things that can go wrong in this situation and did go wrong. I mean, no one could figure it out.
For as much as that was going wrong with the blue team, there was problems on the red team as well. There's a point where Charles is eavesdropping on everyone else getting yelled at, and then he winds up getting
just
yelled
like listening to everybody getting yelled at.
He could see his ears are like, oh shit. And then his New York strip comes back cold. And that's the one that Gordon throws.
He throws that one. Yes, he does throw that one. I was just cracking up watching like all this meat just getting like thrown at walls.
Well, did you get to experience watching Gordon throw anything or any of them?
I don't know if they ever actually threw anything. They might have during our team challenge with the guys because the guys were messing up real bad.
You just talked about earlier, like seeing it come to life of Gordon turning on the energy. But when there's a slamming of a plate or a steak being thrown, that's a totally different.
That's really different. And it's very unnerving.
But if you were watching that on television, you would be entertained by that. But when you're in the it's not as entertaining
it's not entertaining. No,
there's not that little part of you that's like, oh my God, he just yelled.
You're not like, oh, I'm experiencing the Gordon. Like, yeah, it's not like you're not having that like cool experience. Like now I'm in my TV. Yay. Like, no, you're literally just like, this is the worst day of my life.
Right. Well, especially if you are at the center of whatever the fuck just happened.
Yeah. You know what I mean? This is when you feel like you've been reduced to nothing and you literally just like want to like crawl under the table and just be like, just literally tell me when it's over.
Kyle even says, it's really a spectacle to be that up close to a very upset Gordon.
That was, again, Kyle with these like little one-liner things. He's so good. Great. That was
a
perfect explanation of just like it's quite a spectacle.
There was some real funny Kyle looks at when it first starts happening, when yelling is happening right in his face, because it's a totally different person, as you said. You know, like this Gordon is, I mean, for the most part, yes, he's critical and he's outspoken about things that people are doing and he might snap, but this is a different level.
I'm curious as to like what goes on in the privacy of Gordon's trailer before these episodes when he knows he's got to do this. What does he do in the mirror? What does he ingest? Like what music is playing?
Well,
what are the mantras he's saying to himself? Like, I want to know that.
It's the head chef of a restaurant that has now come out of the trailer. He turns
are Gordon Ramsay.
James and Ryan are working the grill together. I know we haven't seen a lot of James.
Has he been in the top or bottom? Has he cooked anything?
Where's James from? But interesting. You only really start seeing people when they step up to do some shit.
Well, right. I mean, yeah, and I get it. Like, there's too many storylines to cover, you know, at this point. So there's only so much time.
Wayne, I think was you like, you're a Wayne fan.
Not today.
You said early in the season that you thought Wayne could be a front runner.
I could see that. Yeah,
I find him really irritating. Even like his simple presence in a team challenge. I think he feels like, and I don't know this, so I wasn't there, and I apologize to Wayne, and I, you know, if he listens to this, but he feels like he's in the way of the process.
Yeah, one
in
of
his
those
head, maybe too
like,
much
get out of the way.
Yeah, move.
Yeah, just move over.
Exactly.
Yeah, I very much get that vibe, and that's why I felt that way today. I was like, oh, Wayne,
just figure something out.
Like I could feel that annoyance as well. Like when he was up there plating the potato and he just kept like knocking the spoon. I was like, stop it.
That's what I'm talking about. Stop doing that.
Yeah, stop it. No time for that. Move. Yeah. No, I totally felt that. I completely agree. I just know like in these situations, like you like picture yourself in the situation. How would you be? Like what person would you be in this challenge?
I think what happens is our worst selves come out in these high stress environments. Now, listen, when I'm directing a project or whatever, and it's a highly stressful situation, the best comes out of me. I work really well in high pressure. So I when things are moving and things are happening, I'm able to, you know, you might fuck something up, something might go not the way you want it to, but you know, I can actively be involved in an environment like that. I feel like you're the same. I feel like when you have events going on at the stadium and shit hits the fan and you got to get the wings out.
Yeah.
You thrive on it in a way, right? In the chaos, you thrive on the chaos. Same here. Having said that, we're both two probably leadership type people, type A's. And so if you had to fall in line and be Wayne or be someone who's working in the brigade and not the leader of the team.
Yeah.
I would imagine that to be very difficult because you're not, whereas a leader of a restaurant or a film, or they're focusing on many things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can tell the chef or the cook to do this or do that. Or the producer or director,
right? They can delegate things.
The delegated to the camera person or the production manager, whatever. Like, to be that other person must be really hard because you're only focused on the one thing, right? So it's like I'm only focused on mashed potatoes,
right? And you still really have zero control over, because at the end of the day, the person in charge is the one saying like, yes, that goes out, or no, or like, it's, you know.
And it's an interesting
making
setup
that end decision.
Because Bryn is the leader of the team and Jennifer, but they only have so much say over what they feel is a good executed dish, because they send the dish up and then one of the three judges will taste it and expedite and say, this sucks, and throw it, you know? So,
but yeah, I don't know. It's such a, being a captain is tough. I will say.
Well, I was going to say,
but
it's not
I do
either.
Think it. I do think, like in Ryan's case, it was really hard for him to be in the position he was in, and you know, like people are. He's knowingly, you know, like there's things that he's cooking that he's like, don't, we can't send these things out yet, and they're sending them out because they just need food, and then you know, like he's like, okay, well, I don't want my name on that, but I can't do anything about it because
I'm not a master chef at all, right? I am somebody who's learning the process, right? You are a master chef, so you have that title and it's amazing. But I can't get the temperature as a novice to this. I can't get the temperature right on shit, on anything. Like when I do, it's a miracle, and the birds should fly down and celebrate this achievement. I'm sure you get the temperatures right way more than I do, but it is not. My point is that it is not easy to get the temperatures right in anything, just for anybody.
Right.
Throw Ryan, who's probably chilling and grilling in his backyard all the time, right? And now he has to serve 100 people, even on the red team with the steaks. You know, it's
with
this
these
is not
pork chops that are like as thick as his own thigh.
Right. Yes.
Like this is like there's, you know, it's different for compared to cooking steak. You know, there's a pretty good range that you can kind of get the steak in and still have it be medium rare to medium at the most, you know, for the judges to find it acceptable and still taste good. You know, it really only matters what the diners think in this challenge. It really doesn't matter what the, because you're, you know, you're just trying to get your team to win.
Yes.
So it just needs to taste good. And so they're all going to say that steak tastes good because it's going to be cooked fine. Like I really not, unless it's like completely raw or completely overdone.
Overcooked. My problem is I overcook way too much, which is really annoying.
That the blue team for the very first time in MasterChef history, 13 seasons, they do not feed everybody. They don't finish the challenge.
Well, there's a couple things. And also, I feel like the red team ran out of mashed potatoes at one point.
They did and had to serve, mushrooms.
Mushrooms, which is a total twist.
Again, I think if, so we'll get to this, but blue team, if blue team had not lost, I think Grant would have for sure been going home.
Totally. I was going to ask you, who do you think would have been going on the teams? Oh, you know what I did not ask you, and I usually ask you this right up to front. You're the leader of either one of the red or blue teams. What are you making?
Definitely a New York strip, for sure. So definitely a New York strip. But I would have probably, it depends like what they had available. But I would have probably gone with some sort of like root vegetable, like a hash or something.
Cool.
Yeah, which would have been really good. And then like a, let's see. I don't know. I like the idea that they had of that, like that cornbread, like cake.
I mean, some of the elements look really great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the elements look good, but yeah, definitely a New York strip, a,
some sort of hash, like a hash to avoid the mashed potato.
Yeah. So it would all been like roasted, and then probably I would definitely then have had some sort of like greenery, like, so say like a,
but color.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You need some color
that,
in there.
That's probably not, that's like where it works for color. Yes. Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's where you, not a jalapeno for color. So in that case, I probably would have gone with like a rainbow chard or Swiss chard or something like that. Not just like a straight green bean or asparagus, or you could even have gone, if they have Brussels, like, dude, like do that up with some pork in it.
Yep.
You know, like, so that's kind of the, okay, the where I would have gone.
We get to this. They don't finish, the blue team. This is shocking because,
yeah. Like, and at that point, you know,
oh, that, sorry, you are definitely going to be in the you're the losing team.
Yeah, they had it kind of going back and forth for a while
because it really does.
Towards the end, it was just like,
it does come down to the diners, right? So ultimately, if everybody was saying how much they loved the blue team, even with the fact that they didn't finish, you know, obviously they would have had whatever amount of people that they didn't serve,
but they still could have won.
Totally, in theory. Right. In theory. Yes.
But you could tell. I mean, there was just like, by the end of it, you're like, oh, these guys are, they're down. They're going down.
It's not good.
I did love the presentation of who won or lost.
That was outrageous.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah. You know what? I got so caught up in it, I didn't even see what color came out. Like, oh, I was really? Like, whoa,
I thought it was so cool. I was like, on? That's awesome.
And then the color showed up and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was creative. Props to whoever thought of that one.
Two quick things. On the red team, at some point, and I think this is going to come into play in the future episodes, Gordon and Joe make a comment about Jennifer saying that she's trying to be everybody's friend.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that that will come to bite her at some point in this season because she is doing that.
Yeah, she seems just a little too nice.
Yes.
Yeah, like in a, I don't want to say disingenuous, like fashion, but a little. I'm a little like, eh.
I think it's like, fair.
Yeah.
As it coming across, again, this is coming across on television, she's probably a very authentic, wonderful person.
She's also like from the South, so that's like a thing, you know, like, so.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's just like a thing. So, but I'm also from Chicago and I'm a little more rough around. You're from Jersey. Like, yes. We can be a-hole sometimes. So, like,
most of the time.
I'm like, yeah, most of the time.
Yes. We're nice to each other.
Yeah, to me,
though.
I'm like, it's just been a little too much. So, I agree with you on that.
Yes. I mean, because when they win or they finish, there's this whole fucking, rah-rah speech that she gives. And I was like, if I was on the red team, I would walk away from that. Like, I don't want to participate. This is not your kids winning the big Olympics. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
the relay challenge. Challenge. Like,
almost comes across as like talking down.
It's exactly how it comes across. Yeah. Yes. I was irritated by it. And I know that I am also, as I've said, rooting for Bryn, sort of. I didn't love everything that happened in this episode because Bryn shows her side when they know they're going to lose. There's this whole conversation that they have where they're making excuses almost, you know, like, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to, you know, we might still win. We could still do this. The one thing, this, it wasn't that bad. They're like, kind of right. Like, in yes. This, it wasn't that bad.
They're bullshit. In denial for yeah. Sure.
I forget who says it, but someone, maybe it's Sarah. I don't remember which one was like, yeah, but that was like our main component.
Oh, that was Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy was sorry. Like, yes, but that was our main component. So
while everybody is sort of doing this, like, you know, yeah, like
Kennedy was like, you are all fooling yourselves. Like,
it was a lot. You know what I mean? Like when Brynn was acting that way, like obviously she knew she was going, her team was going to lose. And she probably knew that in most scenarios like this, the team leader is usually the one who winds up going.
Yeah. I would have been a total like mess during that situation. Cause I would have been like, I'm going home. I would have been freaking out. Like,
okay. So your team's the losing team, let's just say, right. Mm-hmm. Would you have done a lot of what Brynn was doing here? Maybe it won't be that bad. Or would you have been crying in the corner?
Oh, I'd have been crying in the corner. Okay. Like a little, like whatever you call it. I would have been a
someone mess. Who cries in the corner. Yeah.
Someone who cries in the corner. That
I remember the
the you like want to yeah.
The episode when you were in the bottom.
Oh
and,
god.
And you knew that you were I can't wait to watch this with you one day. But your face and that shock and awe and because you're so composed and you're such a badass champ, the greatest champion of all time.
Until I'm not.
And so that moment when you were in the bottom and it was as if, I mean, people have to go back to her season to watch this, but it was as if the worst piece of news had come.
Oh, yeah.
Had come out. Like we're shutting the show down or the ratings are so
terrible.
Bad.
Oh my gosh. Like,
right. All that happened was you were going to be in the bottom three.
Oh, it was so bad.
Well, Brynn was starting that sort of pity party shit. She was definitely doing pity party.
Yeah. She was. She was having a hard time with it. She knew, like, I'm going to be up for elimination. Like, you know, let's try to cover it up, you know, or I don't know, make it better. I'm like, no. So I'm glad, like, it didn't seem like either of them. Or although it's kind of fun to watch if that does happen. Like, no one threw themselves under the bus. Like, there was no, like, Ryan, you did this, and like,
well,
you know.
Can I be honest with you? Like, the ending of the show really just, boom. I don't even know that I realized those three were in the bottom three. It was
super
just,
fast.
And all of a sudden, I just saw three people standing there. I was like, okay, that's the bottom.
It was very fast, and I do kind of miss the aspect of the pressure tests that they used to do.
I just read that. I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah. They used to be really fun after, like, because you knew it was like really between Brynn and Ryan. And so like, let's take them back to the MasterChef kitchen and have them like duel off.
I mean,
pressures. And I get it. It has a lot to do with production and budget and like, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Oh, I'm sure, you know, cause that would lengthen the episode. Usually the team challenge would just be its own episode. And then the next episode would be like the pressure test. And so like it would double up episodes. Like the season was a lot longer.
That's interesting. I mean, but you do make a good point about this because I do feel it was unfair that Ryan was sent home. While it probably does fall on him partly, there was a lot of cooks on that grill at one point, like literally the whole team was at the grill at one. I was watching the episode, right. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Is everybody going to be on the grill? I think they even
said that there were like five people are trying to grill a pork chop.
Gordon is a fun way of saying things like that.
Yeah. Five people are literally trying to do this. Like,
but so like a pressure test challenge between Ryan and Brynn would have been great.
That would have been great, very entertaining. I think it would have been applicable in this situation because, like, why? I don't know. It's really hard to pick which one of them. Like,
did you know who was when you saw the bottom three? Did you know that? Did you know it would be Ryan?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did have a feeling it was going to be Ryan even from the get go. I don't know if it was just like a gut thing or because I've been on the show and like understand it. And I was like, this guy doesn't stand a chance. Like, it's just. Because maybe it was because Brynn wasn't absolutely falling apart. Like she still was doing a good job leading.
Yes.
So I don't think she fell apart enough to warrant her going home.
She didn't fall apart at all.
Right. So, and usually that's going to happen they're going to someone's going to have to take over that's
the failures, the raw pork. She owned it. She tried to course correct multiple times with the team. She didn't speak to anybody in a way that was inappropriate or yelling or anything like that. She got out of them what she needed to. And she also, as you said earlier, she handled the chefs really great too.
Right. I do think, though, she should have been held responsible for her mistelling Ryan when to take the steak off or when to take the pork off. I'm really a little bit upset about that one.
Well, you're talking about when Gordon gave one temperature and then she said another one. Yeah, and
like you don't take your pork off at 1:30.
I mean, it almost felt towards the end that they had just given up.
Yeah.
Because everything was coming back raw. And I don't know that everybody had given up or if he was just rushing them through because they needed to try to complete the service.
Right. Because I do wonder in real time, like how long were they people actually waiting for food? Like it was probably
some very irritated, like, why did I sign up for this shit?
Yeah. I'm like, I always wonder that. I'm like, do they, you know, like, I feel like you go into an experience like that, like with lower standards. Cause you're like, oh, this is the beginning of the season. And
yes.
You're like, I know this is not going to be fantastic. I always am wondering if you're like, oh gosh, why did I take a shift today?
It is Ryan that goes home.
Yeah.
That's the episode. And they say goodbye to him. Big hugs. Ryan is very cool. He's from Jersey. He'll be all right. You know, he's going to do fine. We're going to talk to Ryan in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear his side of the story.
For sure.
Find out what happened, because this episode literally was his episode. Like, that's basically, he took center stage. So
what did you think of the episode?
Great episode. Loved it. Very entertaining. Like the challenge. I mean, I like seeing the interplay between all the contestants. We get to learn a little bit more about them, but as you said, also they were still a really big pool, so I think
people show up and I'm like, who the fuck is it?
I know, right? We still gotta weed through
to have to unfortunately talk to Wayne here at some point. And now I said all this shit about
by the time they all get on here,
they're gonna be like, yeah, okay, I really want your number.
Right. Yeah, they're like, no, I'm declining that interview request. I'm not doing that. They, you know, we gotta tell both sides of the story
always. That's the real eats. It's not the fictional
right.
eats,
right?
Lastly, have you changed your position about your favorites and who you think you're rooting for? Who do you think is going to be a strong competitor? I love Brynn. I think she's amazing, but I don't think Brynn is, I think she'll go down the road far, but I do not think that Brynn is going to win the competition anymore after this week's, unless she comes out of the, I would say that Jennifer, in my opinion, has a better chance of being a winner. Kyle, these are people.
So I still like Kyle a lot.
So has there been any kind of Wayne? I was never a big fan of
Wayne's stock is declining.
It's declining.
It's declining quickly.
And has anybody
Grant's stock declined on me this week?
Mashed potatoes. I mean,
right. Granted, we haven't really seen him do much yet. And then it's still like, I like Nina and I like Kennedy.
Kennedy is definitely right now under the radar.
Kennedy is under the radar, but I think she like knows what she's doing. Like,
and she had that like,
she lives in a bus and cooks food.
That's right. She
knows what she's doing. So
she did have that like fun little snippy comment to Brynn. Yeah. So
Kyle, Nina and Kennedy are my favorites right now.
I'm still a fan of Brynn. I'm not going to take that away, but I'm also moving Kyle up and Jennifer.
Yeah. I'm excited about next week.
Even though I find her irritating with the rah-rah shit, I do think she is really stepped up and shown that she belongs in this competition and is really capable.
So question, does she again have immunity into next week?
She does.
I heard they say like you have an advantage.
Yeah.
But does she also have immunity?
They didn't say that, but it is called like the immunity pin. She did say that. They did.
So 2 weeks in a row, she keeps it. See, that's why that was a good move. Another mystery box next week, which I'm super excited about. Let's see them like cook again. Like,
did they say?
I feel like these episodes. No, they didn't show, but they said you open it as a team.
Yes, I saw that.
And then the advantage she has is one region gets a 10-minute like delay.
I thought this was great. I always love watching these episodes, and I love watching them in advance. So,
thank you to MasterChef for that one. I'm very excited to see them cook again next week and just watch. Oh, potential double elimination.
They indicated that was coming.
I hope
that's too soon for that.
No, it's never too soon when there's this many people.
Do you
think better time for it?
I'm trying to think of the right word. In Jersey would say in gots. They have, which means like they're agitated with someone greatly. Do you think that they have like somebody that's been in the bottom that they just want get out?
Oh, you know? I'm sure.
Like for me, it's probably Charles.
Yeah. You don't think Kendall needs to go?
And Kendall, Kendall is still a hot button with those churros.
It's like we forgot about what happened last week.
In this episode, and I thought he was on the grill at one point for the red team.
Everybody was.
Yeah, but he was manning his station. He was under the radar this week,
which is always good. Sometimes
stay under the fucking radar. Not for nothing. I love Ryan, but stepping up as the fucking grill master.
I know
that's not a good.
Couldn't help himself.
He just, the jersey
it's came like big,
out.
Big man I'll on campus.
I'll run the grill. You know what I mean?
That frat guy like came out of him. He's like, I got this.
Ah, I got the grill. Let's do pork chops. Come on, put everything. And then next thing you know, he's on the way back to the airport, back to Newark. So sad.
Yeah. I feel bad for him. That was an unlucky loss for him.
Yeah, I like him. He's very cool. And, you know, listen, he has a very awesome story. He came back from a lot of shit. So, he's a very tough guy, and he'll get over the getting out of MasterChef where he did.
Yeah, you know? Ryan's going to be just fine. Yes. And guys, we appreciate you listening. We are very excited to continue this journey with you. I think it's been a lot of fun. The season is shaping up excellently. I'm loving it so far, loving all the characters. And we cannot wait to see you on The Real Eats next week. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Like delay,
that would suck.
That would blow.
I mean that.
Yeah, that suck is, or blow.
Yeah, that was. That was. It was.
Sorry, everybody. I walked myself into that one. So I had to finish it.
Can I leave?
I just keep going with it. I'm sorry.